My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You're listening to Math and Magic, a production of iHeartRadio.
Anything that you are trying to accomplish in life, just know that if it's easy, it's going to go away fast. Remember, what comes quickly is quick. But anything that you love, anything that you got passion for, anything that you believe in, you're going to have to fight for it.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman. Today is a special episode of Math and Magic, so it might sound a little different. Our guest is a worldwide phenomenon, a Grammy Award-winning artist, entrepreneur, and philanthropist. And we recorded it live on stage at the Possible Conference at the Fontainebleau in Miami. I hope you'll enjoy my conversation exploring math and magic with the one and only Pitbull.
Obviously, you heard the intro. We have Armando Christian Perez, Mr. Worldwide, Mayor of Miami, best known as Pitbull. Grammy Award winner, singer, songwriter, entrepreneur. You heard about a philanthropist. We're going to dig into that a little bit. He's got a great story, and he's got a trademark sound. His grito.
First of all, everybody, welcome to Miami, the 305 Dade County, the Magic City. And with that said, it's only right we go, yeah! Get ready for a great conversation. And I need to get it right because I may get in trouble in the streets of Miami. See, I'm Mr. 305. Luke is the king of Miami, meaning Uncle Luke. Ed Ross is the boss. Flo Rida's Mr. International. And Trick Daddy is the mayor of Miami. Just got to make that right, because if not, I'm getting a little
something. Absolutely. He's the unofficial mayor. If there's anything to do at 305, he's got it.
Before we get started, I always do a feature called You in 60 Seconds. We're going to do it lightning round style. And give me the first answer that comes to your mind. Do you prefer cats or dogs?
Neither, to be honest with you.
Early or late night?
Late night.
City or country?
City.
Coke or Pepsi?
I don't drink any of them.
City or suburbs?
City or suburbs? City.
Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Hip-hop or pop?
Come on now. Hip-hop.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Cook or eat out?
You asking a Miami boy that. Miami, I do. Eat out.
Comedy or drama?
Comedy.
Call or text?
I'd rather call.
Podcast or streaming?
Podcast or streaming. And you got me there. Documentaries.
touring a recording studio?
Touring.
Salt or sweet?
Spicy.
Okay, we'll take that. It's about to get harder. Your all-time favorite artist.
My all-time favorite artist? Man, you hit me there. It's going to have to be two, because remember, it's English and Spanish.
Right.
All right, perfecto. Notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls. And in Spanish, Celia Cruz, La Reina, Azúcar.
Favorite city?
Come on, man. Miami 305, Dade County.
And last one. When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
When I was a kid, what I want to be when I grew up? To be honest with you, I didn't even have that kind of vision at that point. All I wanted to be was secure, stable, and protected. There was a lot going on at that time, and thank God that we've accomplished those goals.
We're going to dig into that. Let's jump into it, and let's start with creativity. For you, where did it come from? How do you develop your ideas? Do you have a process?
My ideas are developed around my life. So if you listen to the records, I'm always telling you, you're reporting live from the tallest building in Tokyo, or take advantage of the night because tomorrow I'm off to Dubai to perform for a princess. You know, these are all things that happen to me in my life. So really what I'm doing is I'm reporting, or we could call it journalism, on a beat. As far as the earlier records that if you heard, you know, there's been evolution from Pitbull to Mr. 305 to Mr. Worldwide. And if you listen to Pit, or you listen to me back in the day, what I was painting you was a picture of what my environment looked like. Whether it was in the streets, whether it was in the clubs, whether it was the vision and the goals that we were setting at that time. So basically, my creativity comes from my life.
And do you have a process for how you channel it? You've got the idea. How do you turn it into these major hits?
So a lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow. So whatever the first line is, I write it. And that first line may end up at the end of the record. It may end up in the middle of the record. It may not even end up on the record at all. But at least it opened the pipeline to creativity and allows it to flow. So that's basically my number one rule when we're recording, as far as like, hey, whatever you feel, write it down. And you just never know where that idea will take you. And when I've been around the best of the best, what's funny is you could be having a conversation and they'll go, that's the record. That's what we're going to do. And you go, man, I was just talking to somebody. I'll give you an example. I was with Pharrell Williams and we were knocking out a record. And he hears me having a conversation about somebody that was a very jealous person. And I was telling this person on the phone, I said, oye, no te preocupes eso. Esa persona él es muy celoso. You don't need that in your life. That's a very jealous person. You don't need that in your life. And Pharrell turns to me and says, what's that word you just said? I said, celoso. He goes, what does celoso mean? I said, jealous. He said, that's the name of the record. And we made a record together called Jeloso. And it's about making, you know, other people jealous when you're in the club and someone's trying to holler at you that maybe you shouldn't be. Either or, you see how the idea came about.
I think it was at the iHeartRadio Music Festival, and I was backstage, and you and Calvin Harris got into this whole, like, collaboration thing, like, on the spur of the moment. How do you think about collaboration?
Well, collaboration to me is key, right? Because there's nothing like being able to tap into someone else's audience and them tap into yours. It's the ultimate example of how powerful music is, because music is the universal language. Music unites, it doesn't divide. And example, like speaking to a Calvin Harris and iHeart, and it was the first iHeart, actually, and we were in Vegas. And thanks, by the way, I really appreciate it. They come backstage and they tell me, oh, we're going to need you to close after Aerosmith. I said, oh, shit. I said, give me a little bit more vodka. Let me see what Aerosmith's doing. But don't worry, we got this. But that's exactly, with that story I just told you, briefly, that's exactly what collaboration is about. You can't be afraid. You can't be scared. You can't be fearful. And a lot of people don't collaborate with other artists or genres or cultures or countries because they feel it'll hurt their credibility or their path or journey in their career. And I've always told people, if you ever worry about your credibility, it's because you were never credible in the first place. And that just shows a sign of insecurity. Growing up in a city like Miami, that's a melting pot. And I've grown up around a lot of different cultures. it got me ready to be able to collaborate with anybody, anywhere, about anything, which has been key and monumental. And allows you to learn other cultures, which is beautiful as well.
You have a wildly passionate fan base. How do you stay connected to that fan base day in and day out?
Look, we're living in a society where I feel that the fake gets celebrated and the real get hated. It's instant gratification. It's not now. It's right now. Right? So I feel that the connection stays with the fans for the simple fact is that I try to be as honest and real with them through the music, through our projects, and through everything that we do for other things other than music, but music has created that avenue and those opportunities. And the other thing is that I check in with them every so often. I don't like to dilute or saturate what the message may be. Because if you hear from me every day, then you're like, I'm not trying to hear nothing from Pitt. But if there's a message that is strategically placed every now and then for things that we got going on, now it's different. Now they're out there fighting for you, acknowledging you, being, I would say, empowered by you, motivated and inspired by you. And that to me is priceless. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to music, when it comes to anything in life, I'm a fan first. I'm a person that acknowledges and really appreciate when someone is knocking it out of the park and trying to be at the top of the game. And bottom line is that without the fans, there is no Pitbull, no movement, no revolution, no way we get a chance to live our dreams every night on stage, which I let them know that every night when we perform, because it's just the truth.
So, radio, you've been a part of it for as long as I've been around this company, been a major presence on the radio. How do you use radio and how does it work in making your music and getting it to the public?
Well, I mean, radio is something that's been a major part of my career, but you have to, again, learn how to utilize it. And as far as that is, when you create an amazing partnership, which we have throughout the years, in order to get a platform at that level to be able to give music to your fans or to the world, you got to make sure that you can take advantage of that opportunity. So when you create a partnership where you know that I'm going to, when I say I mean we, I mean us. I don't do this by myself as far as making records and performing and things of that nature, is quality over quantity. So as partners, you know I'm going to bring you quality and you guys are going to give me quality opportunities. So to me, when it comes to radio being as powerful as it is and it's been throughout the years, obviously times are changing and things of that nature, but that's something that will forever be with us. It's about partnership, I feel.
More of Math and Magic right after this quick break.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
Welcome back to Math and Magic. Let's hear more from my conversation with Pitbull.
Let's go back in time. Your Cuban roots, very important to you. You grew up in Little Havana. And can you paint a picture of that time and place when you were growing up? Give us the visual picture here.
Well, first of all, I grew up in Little Havana, is one of my old neighborhoods, La Pequeña Havana on 5th and 5th. I grew up all over Miami, good neighborhoods, bad neighborhoods, worse neighborhoods, ugly neighborhoods, you name it, it built a lot of character. But if we're going to talk about Little Havana on 5th Avenue and 5th Street, where I was always at was a spot called Calle Ocho. Calle Ocho is like a main vein of Miami, 8th Street. And at that time, it looked like there was a parade out every day because everybody was always out. And the Mario boat lift had just hit in 80, 81. And I was living there 83, 84. And they still had this thing called Tent City where they were living up under I-95, the Marielitos. So a lot of Marielitos were out and about in Calle Ocho, which, you know, was a good thing, great thing, and a bad thing. Let's call it a gift and a curse. A lot of them that came over were looking for freedom and how to take advantage of it. And you know what? How can I can put it like this. I grew up at an early age around entrepreneurs that were just moving a different product. They were looking for angel investors, venture capitalists. They were, you know, seeding their startup money, let's just say. Round A, round B, round C. Some became multi and exited, and some just exited, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
What lessons did you take from that that you use today or have helped you build your career?
The lessons that I've learned growing up, I think the number one lesson was what not to do. What I learned from those individuals that I was around as a youngin', and you got to understand, as a kid, your mind is a sponge. You're picking up everything. Everything they drop and you're picking it up. So I would see the ones that would survive and thrive because, you know, a lot of folks, they were just trying to make a better life for themselves. But the ones that didn't survive and thrive were the ones that we call son aladoso. I mean, aladoso is someone that's always showing off, speaks loud, a lot of jewelry, fancy cars, always flashing money, and treating people disrespectfully. Those are the guys I would look at, I go, definitely don't ever want to be that. But the guys that were around, that every time they would come around, which I'm actually doing something with them now about their life story and things of that nature, it's like time would stop. And they treated everybody with respect. They were always funny. They always, you know, were tipping and made sure that people were taken care of. And I always said, you know, those are the kind of guys that I would like to be like, you know? So the music business and the street business is very, very similar. It's just a different product. So in the streets, there was cocaine, crack, heroin, obviously weed, pills, you name it. I dealt with all of that, meaning I grew up around it. I saw the people that got addicted to it. You can get addicted to it doing it, or you can get addicted to it selling it. It all depends on what lane you want to take, right? But I've never seen a drug as powerful and more addicting than fame. So when I got into the music business and I started to see what fame would do to people, I said, wow. So those guys were dealing with fame at a different level. That's why some of them are not with us to this day. And when I see certain artists deal with fame a certain way and the way that they treat people, I can tell you time is ticking. They're not going to be here that long with us. So those are the things that I have captured, found a way to learn from, And again, learn what not to do.
Well, one of the things you do is you help other people.
Always.
And one of the things that sort of fits in here is you've started SLAM in Miami. It is a charter school, K through 12, tuition free. Tell us a little bit about it and then sort of how you found it and got into it and why.
So SLAM, Sports Leadership, Arts and Management, it's a public charter school. 97% of those kids are on free lunch. All of them come from the inner city, so we pull them out of Liberty City, Alapata, Wynwood, Overtown, Little Havana, you name it. So they go from D and F schools, basically. Now SLAM is an A school. It's been up for 10 years. Now, why did I get into education? I didn't graduate high school. I went to a lot of schools, over 20 of them, probably 25. Never been a troublemaker, just always around some trouble. But a teacher changed my life. And ironically, when I was hopeless, her name is Hope. Hope Martinez is her name. Esperanza Martinez. And all it took was for her to turn to me and tell me, I believe in you. And when she did that, it changed my life. It changed the trajectory of my life. So I said, if I could do the same, and when I say I mean us, there's administration behind this, principals, teachers, parents that believe in us, kids that believe in us. If we could help them the same way that Hope Martinez helped me, and all you need is one. You know, Tupac has a great line. Tupac says, I'm not the one that's going to change the world, but I'm the one that's going to spark the mind of the one that's going to change the world. And that, to me, what SLAM is all about. It's one of my old neighborhoods in Little Havana, like we were speaking earlier. 10 years in education. Now we're up to 12 schools, 10,000 kids across the nation. So we have them Tampa, Boca.
Get an applause. Yeah.
Thank you. So we have Miami, Tampa, Boca, Palm Beach, Osceola, Atlanta. I know we got approved in Alabama. That's crazy. We just got one in Arizona. We have in San Antonio, and we have in Nevada, in Las Vegas, right outside of Las Vegas in Henderson. So little by little, it's growing. It's just, you know what they say, what comes quick leaves quicker, which, by the way, I learned that in the streets as well. So I made up a slogan called, it's a slow but a for show. And I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society, in the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living. Education is the root. So the more we teach on what life really looks like, because SLAM, what makes a difference is the curriculum. So we're able to teach these kids through sports. So example, I don't know how many of y'all really liked algebra. I didn't think so. So when I saw numbers meet letters, I said, man, I must be in the wrong class. But if you take an algebraic equation and X, Y, Z, and X is, they need 6 points. Y is, they're at the 30-yard line. And Z is, they got 30 seconds. Now, you create a different level of engagement with these students and you make education and learning exciting. So that's the reason that I got involved with SLAM, because another neighborhood that I lived in Miami called Wynwood, which used to be the heroin capital, now it's the art mecca of the world. It goes to show you how shit changes. Yeah, from a negative to a positive, baby. That's right. And there's a big slogan in Wynwood, which is say, don't talk about it, be about it. So SLAM, for me, for us, and those that have given me the opportunity to be able to build schools, it's our ultimate way of not talking about it, being about it.
Couple of quick things. Pitbull, where did the name come from?
The name Pitbull came from a friend of mine, Dominican, one of my best friends growing up. And we were on the way actually to a Pitbull fight, crazy enough. And I was looking for an MC name. I didn't have one yet. And when we were on the way there, he's like, di que tú sabes el nombre tuyo. And he's like, hey, you know what? I know your name. And I said, all right, what is it? He goes, Pitbull. Pitbull nombre tuyo. And I'm like, Pitbull. I said, shit, that got a little ring to it. I like that. Pit, all right. And then as I researched the breed, there's a lot of stereotype behind a pit bull. Pit bulls were actually used to be utilized as babysitters. Then they became fighters. But what happened? It's all about you become a product of your environment, right? So me personally, I got a great heart. But my blood could turn cold real quick due to the environment that I was raised in. So being a pit bull in Miami, by the way, which was illegal at the time, pit bulls weren't allowed. So I was the only legal pit with papers allowed in Dade County. But they fight to the death. They're loyal. They ride to the death. They bite. They lock. They don't let go till they take care of business. And they don't understand what it is to lose. So I said, man, I can definitely apply this to our mentality in music and more than anything in life. Because anything that you are trying to accomplish in life, just know that if it's easy, it's going to go away fast. Remember, what comes quick leaves quick. But anything that you love, anything that you got passion for, anything that you believe in, you're going to have to fight for it. And the first thing that they're going to tell you is you're crazy. Don't do it. It'll never happen. It's impossible. You're fucking stupid. Why are you trying that? Yeah. So I flipped it. I mean, y'all saw me talk about it, but it's the truth. So I had to figure out ways to go, no, they don't know what they're talking about, but I'm focused. Pa'lante, pa'arriba, no mire pa'tran, ni pa'rampuzo. That means you're moving forward, move up. Don't look back, not even for a boost. Got to stay focused. But in the word can't is can. In the word won't is one. In the word don't is do. In the word impossible is possible. And take it to the next level is put that little posture in front of the eye is I'm possible. And when you can rewire your brain like that, then guess what? Anything is possible. So between a pit and me, that's how we're wired. And that's why my name is Pitbull.
And here you are as possible.
Look, possible. Man, that's
right here. For you.
Wow. And then, my bad, I got to tell you this one. So Mr. 305, by the way, came about, because we spoke about him earlier, from the mayor of Dade County, Trick Daddy, because we were in a studio together, and we figured out we lived in a lot of the same neighborhoods, either at different times or same times, just didn't run into each other. And when I told him all the neighborhoods that I had lived in, he said, man, you like Mr. 305. I said, bet that up. Thank you very much. I'm taking that right there. Appreciate it. So Trick Daddy, T-double-D, I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
AI. We can't do a discussion without talking about AI. It is a very hot topic in the music business. How do you think about it?
It's funny because I was having a conversation about artificial intelligence the other day. There's AI, artificial intelligence, and then there's AI, Armando intelligence. What do I think about artificial intelligence? Just like I think about any form of technology or any new platform. As long as you utilize it and it doesn't use you, then you're in the green. But they're going to have to get ahead of it. The same way that social media got in front of everybody and we see what it's done to society one way or another. There's things that are positive about it, but there's a lot of negatives to it. So what happens when you implement these kind of platforms, there's no rules, laws, or regulations. Example, in Florida, they just passed where kids can't get on social media till 14. I mean, if it takes a kid to be 16 years old to be able to get his driver's license, 18 years old to be able to smoke, 21 to be able to drink, then there should be somehow, some way, barriers in place so that the youth understands the power of artificial intelligence, right? The same way that I think we kind of missed the ball with social media, we should utilize that as an example going into artificial intelligence. And it's the same thing we look at traffic. What I mean by it is you get on the road, there's lanes, there's stop signs, there's stop lights, there's exits, there's ways that it directs you. But if everybody were running red lights, running stop signs, everybody's running into each other. Now we see what social media did to society to a certain extent. So with artificial intelligence, obviously we know it's the next level. I feel that we're just gonna have to be real responsible about it. Is it powerful? Can it be utilized to help society? Yes, it can. But again, I think that they have to get in front of it, which we're actually dealing with a certain companies about artificial intelligence, but it's all for ways to prevent things. Again, utilize it. Don't let it use you. And with being involved with education, we see what it does to students when they're not properly aware or educated on how powerful that tool is. So one time, a friend of mine had a conversation with a university and he asked the kids in university, he said, how many of y'all got tattoos? And let's say a quarter of the room raised their hand. And he said, no, all of y'all need to raise your hands. And they're like, oh, what are you talking about? He said, because I'm sure that all of y'all have a picture on the internet right now as we speak, and that's a tattoo. It's with you for life. So just imagine that with social media. You can take it to deep fakes. You can do real crazy things with it. So that to me is the part that I look at it and go, there's got to be rules, laws, regulations on creating that barrier. Now, musically, shit, we got to protect ourselves. I mean, somebody can give you a record that sounds just like me right now. All it has to do is talk to whatever platform they want to go on and make that happen. Can it be utilized where a producer sends it to me and I'm like, oh, I see where you're taking it. And then we take it to the next level. Yes, it can be. But do we need to find ways to protect that? Absolutely. Whether it be from music side or entertainment as a whole. And even the politicians, they need to watch out. I always say politics, I call it politricks. Where AI is about to become politricky. But about it.
Armando, you inspire us with your music and your life. Thanks for being with us today and sharing your insights.
It is truly my pleasure. It's an honor. I appreciate y'all for having me. Thank you, Pitman. Pitbull and Pitman.
Here are a few things I picked up in my conversation with Pitbull. One, draw from your life. From putting his real experiences into lyrics to starting slam charter schools, Pitbull has built a career steeped in his own personal history. He's proof that you don't have to look far when seeking inspiration. Whether you're an artist, an entrepreneur, or both, pursue projects that feel true to yourself to create something meaningful and authentic. Two, don't overthink it. Let your ideas flow without giving it too much thought. Pitbull says he writes down the first lines that come into his head. Whether or not they make the final cut, it's valuable to experiment with your ideas because you never know where they'll take you. Three, utilize your platforms. Pitbull has been on the radio for his entire career and knows how to leverage its strengths to help his career. These days, there are new platforms popping up every day. Pitbull still looks out for new tools and technologies like AI and tries to understand them so he can be in control of it, creating quality products that he can use to his advantage. I'm Bob Pittman. Thanks for listening.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for listening to Math and Magic, a production of iHeart Podcasts. The show is hosted by Bob Pittman. Special thanks to Sydney Rosenblum for booking and wrangling our wonderful talent, which is no small feat. Math and Magic's producers are Emily Marinoff and Jessica Kreinchich. It is mixed and mastered by Bahid Frazier. Our executive producers are Nikki Etor and Ali Perry. And of course, a big thanks to Gail, Raul, Eric, Angel, Noel, and everyone who helped bring this show to your ears. Until next time.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.